Glad to see you folks this morning. I appreciate you being here. Appreciate you setting aside this time to worship in the house of God. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Matthew, and I'm just going to use that as a jumping off point, basically. I want to talk to you about the resurrection. That's what you expect. The resurrection is the day that really changed history. I know Christ died on Friday. He sacrificed his body, shed his blood, that we might have forgiveness of sins. But the resurrection is what makes all the difference in the world. For who we worship, who the Son of God is, that death could not defeat him. And we worship here because he is alive and well and seated at the right hand of his heavenly Father. I want to take you today through Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. There are four different appearances of the Lord to people that he loves on this first day of the week. I cannot visualize the heartfelt appearances that those four groups of people had. But maybe you can have a deeper meaning, understanding of what transpired. I'm going to start just as in Matthew chapter 27, verse 65, and that's just a jumping off point. Because wherever we talk about the resurrection, there are always people who want to deny his resurrection. Some people even deny his existence. When you look at history and you look at religion in the world today, Christianity is in the minority. We have always been in the minority. But we have been commissioned and told to tell the world about the one who changed us. Changed our direction, changed our heart, changed our emphasis, and changed our being. So if someone denies the Lord in front of you or says that basically you're crazy for believing such a thing, just recognize they're in the majority, you're in the minority, and you're right. That's the difference. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 65, as Pilate said to them, that is to the Sadducees and Pharisees, they thought, now the Lord said he was going to be raised the third day, and let's make sure that that doesn't happen. The disciples can't go in and steal his body and claim the resurrection. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way and make it as secure as you know. How? And so they went and made the tomb secured, sealing the stone and setting the guard. They wanted to make sure that nobody came and stole the body of the Lord. And so when they made it as secure as they could, and that was their responsibility, and bottom line is you can't stop God. I don't care who you are, you can't stop God. You can't stop his work. And the best thing that we can do is join God and let him bless us. That's the essence of it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 17, where Paul writes, he says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is vain or futile or in vain, and you are still in your sins. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. We have no hope. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Christ is who we are. That's the essence of who we are. All that we say and all that we do should reflect what Christ has done in our lives. I know that we can't always do that. We do not always do that, but that's just the way that it is. But everything that we believe about the Bible rests particularly on this one verse, that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there is no resurrection, I suggest that you get up and leave, because I'm wasting your time. Because the resurrection is that important. If Christ's body is still in that tomb rotting, then I'm the biggest liar that I've ever been. But he's not there. He's seated at the right hand of his heavenly Father to make intercession for us. Sunday, the third day, as our Matthew reference said, Jesus rose from the grave. The Lord announced to his disciples before the crucifixion these truths. Now, pay particular attention as the sequence is involved. A reading out of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. That was his divine appointment. And suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. That was the religious hierarchy of the time. They were in charge of the Jewish religion. And then he says he's going to be killed. And then he said he's going to be raised again the third day. That's important. He told his disciples that he was going to come alive the third day. You know, a lot of times we hear things and they just don't sink in. You've had that trait since you were a little kid. Your parents told you certain things and, yeah, Mom, yeah, Dad, you know, I don't believe you. And then it's amazing how smart moms and dads become the older we get. They are a whole lot wiser than we thought. One, because they've been there, done that. They've experienced those things that we think we're experiencing for the first time. Human nature has not changed. We all still sin. We all still make mistakes. That's just the way that it is. I've told this story before, and I'll tell it every couple months wherever I am. My two kids, my son and my daughter, we used to tell them when they was about 13 or 14, I said, one day you're going to wake up and find out the mom and dad's not as dumb as you think they are. Well, kids are slow learners. My daughter was, I guess my son came home first. He was 25 and said, you were right. And that was a big step for him. My daughter, about age 22, came home and said, Mom, Dad, you were right. That was a big step for her. You have to experience some things before you realize that people older than you know more than you do. And even when parents and grandparents and friends and relatives are ancient, according to young people, they're still pretty smart. They have a way of just saying just something that will stick you in your heart, step on your toes, slap you beside the head, and help you realize that you don't know it all. It's that way spiritually. We grow and mature as we seek the Lord and continually seek the Lord. God has a way of just opening up a scripture to me. I can just tell you that. Now, I've read the Bible through a number of times. I've preached, I don't know how many hundreds of sermons. And I find new truth or new application all the time. Because God is constantly working in all of our lives to help us grow and improve and get closer to Him. The first resurrection appearance, and I'm going to look at four of them, was Mary and Mary Magdalene. They were the ones who came to the tomb early in the morning. In Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse number 9, it says, "And they went after they had come to the tomb and the Lord had appeared to them." It says, "And they went to tell the disciples, 'Behold, Jesus met them, rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" I've always thought it was interesting that the Lord didn't appear to the disciples first. It was two ladies that had a heart for Jesus. Your heart is open to God. God knows the deepest thoughts, the deepest part of you, and whether you are genuine or not, or whether you're struggling or whatever, God knows who you are inside and out. I know for years I have told God I didn't like the fact that He knows my thoughts. Because my thoughts are not always wholesome. Do you ever want to get vengeance? You ever want to pay back somebody for treating you wrong? That's not a wholesome thought. I had that thought this week. I went to Kroger, which is one of the three stores that I go to, and they had my wife's IVs on sale. That's a 2-liter Diet Pepsi, okay? And on the shelf it said Pepsi's 99¢. So I picked up 12. I went to the cashier and she says, "You can't do that." They said, the newspaper says it's only 5. And so I said, "That's not what the sign said. Go look." So she went back and looked, and lo and behold, she came back, and instead of coming to me, she got on the radio, phone, whatever it was, and called somebody, and the assistant manager comes up and says, "You can't buy 12 on sale. You can only buy 5. I said, "That's not what the sign says." And so we went back and forth a little bit. So I said, "Go ahead, take the 7. So I rang up the other 5. I looked at the receipt, $2.99 apiece. And I called the cashier over. I was in the self-checkout line. I said, "This says it's $2.99. She says, "You're supposed to have this little digital thing on your phone to get the price, and I don't have it." And so I said, "Here, you can have these 5. But it upset me. I said, "I'm not going back to Kroger except for anything for medicine." Then lo and behold, my wife says, "I want a pound cake." So I go to Food Line, also has Ucrop's pound cake. So I went to Food Line, they're sold out. So I said, "Oh golly days, I've got to go back to Kroger." So I went and they didn't have them either. But in the meantime, the Lord had to get a hold of me and just get a hold of my attitude about what that assistant manager said. It just really rubbed me wrong. But what I'm saying is you can get offended. And that will hurt you spiritually in your relationship with Christ. And so I had to ask forgiveness. And it's just I'm a prideful guy. I don't like to ask forgiveness except to the Lord. But anyway, I asked for forgiveness so I could be right with God. But go tell your brothers. Go tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. And somewhere after he talked to Mary and Mary Magdalene, he appeared to Cephas or Peter. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 5, he says, "And he was seen of Cephas," Peter that is, "and then by the 12. It's not recorded exactly where the Lord met Peter, but somewhere he met Peter, because Peter needed a personal understanding that he denied the Lord that betrayal night. The Lord says, "You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." And old Peter says, "Not me." But he did. And then he went out and confessed it. But he needed to have that restoration of fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord made it a special point to talk to him and restore that fellowship and that confidence that Peter needed to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach the Word of God. You and I need that restoration at times, that we can stand and speak and represent the Lord wherever we are, wherever our job takes us, wherever life takes us, wherever we may be. To have the backbone to be able to stand up and speak up for the Lord is something that we often struggle with. But we know that Peter actually stood up and did that. And we know that Peter was bold enough to speak up. And this brings me to a thought. Even though you stick your foot in the mouth, now that's an old expression, okay? God can still use you. Even though you keep your mouth shut rather than speak up, or you did something wrong, God can still use you. He can forgive you if you're willing to ask Him and willing to keep on plugging along for Him. See, God has an individual mission for each and every one of you. God didn't save you just for you to come and sit and soak up the Word of God. He saved you that you might be a witness for Him, and that you might share your life with others, and that you may, and the way that you live and the way that you speak, that you would represent Him. And you can, you're the only one that can speak to certain other people. That was a hard thing for me to be able to understand, because God's got lots of Christians, and He can use you. Use them instead of me. But when God picks on you, He says, "You. I want you." And when God says, "I want you," He means business. And so He wants to use you. And then in Luke chapter 24, is a good description of the Emmaus Road experience. The Emmaus Road experience is two believers walking to Emmaus from Jerusalem, which is about 7 miles, and they're discussing the things about the crucifixion, and they realize that the Lord said He was going to be resurrected this day, and they were just discussing all those events. And somehow the Lord comes up behind them and joins with them in their 7 mile walk. And He just begins to have a conversation with them. And they basically accused Him being a stranger in Jerusalem and not knowing the events of the crucifixion, of things that went on, then how the Pharisees and the Sadducees had, quote, killed the Lord. And they said, "This is the third day, and some of our fellow Christians have seen Him." And it was the topic of conversation. And verse number 25, the Lord said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken about me." You know, it's amazing how the Bible comes alive and brings a scripture to your heart along the way. And they still didn't recognize him at that point. But when they invited him into the house and he went there and he began to say grace over the food. In verse number 30, he said, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. There are certain things that happens in Scripture that opens our eyes that we may see and understand what the Bible's talking about. When God takes that moment and just brings it to your heart, he's trying to get your attention. But these men, excuse me, I'm having throat problems. These men walked with the Lord physically. Ever how many miles they walked together. And the Lord had opened up the scripture starting at Moses and began to expound all the Old Testament things about the Christ. And they had replied earlier, "Did not our heart burn within us?" There's something about scripture that just comes to our heart and gets our attention, whether it's conviction or just admonishment or encouragement, that just helps us along the way. That's what scripture does. The scripture is alive. It speaks to us. It speaks to our heart if we will just take the time to do so. And then the fourth appearance of the Lord that day is found in John chapter 20. This is the upper room. In verse number 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." Now get an understanding. These men who walked with the Lord were scared because their Savior had been crucified. And they didn't know if the hierarchy of the religious crowd was going to come after them next. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw him. I don't know how you'd feel, but if I was in a locked room and Jesus showed up and that door wasn't open and there was no hole in the wall, I'd be scared. He would have my undivided attention. And whatever he said, I wanted to hear. But Jesus appeared to these men. Thomas wasn't here at this particular stage. Judas has hung himself. So it's just 10 men and Jesus. And Jesus is reminding them that he's alive. "See, I told you back earlier that I was going to be killed and I was going to be raised again the third day. Here I am. I didn't lie. I didn't exaggerate. here I am. And I think that had to give those 10 men some spiritual backbone that they didn't have before, to stand up and to speak up and tell the world that he's alive. What is interesting, to take this a step further, that this appearance is the first of four times that Jesus appears to his disciples after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. To me, it's interesting when scripture or an event is repeated in the Bible, it's, in my opinion, it's done for emphasis, to grab our attention. So he stands before them, and in verse number 21, he said to them again, "Peace to you, as my Father has sent me, I also send you." Jesus told these 10 men, you have a mission to do, and that is tell the world. Not only did he tell these 10 men in the upper room that day, but he told them again. In Mark chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. 14 is so you'll see one word. Later he appeared to the 11. Thomas is now with them. As they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Now get a hold of this. These are the men that walked with the Lord 3.5 years. And Jesus just basically said, you're still not believing things, and you still got a hard heart. I don't know what that says to you, but it says to me, I've got a lot of work to do in my own heart. If the disciples who spent 3 years with him had difficulties, I have difficulties. He says, because you did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The second time that the Lord is telling his disciples, you have a mission. You have something to do for me. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter the last several verses in chapter 28. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 16, so you grasp the context of location. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. They're miles north of Jerusalem, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed them. And when they had saw him, they worshiped him, and some of them doubted. Still doubts now. And Jesus said to them, and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is reminding these men the third time that they still have a mission of telling people about Jesus, and they had need to carry it out. And then the fourth time is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Lord said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria until the end of the earth. The fourth time that the Lord tells them you have a mission to do, I want you to recognize one thought here. His first appearance to the disciples after the resurrection, he tells them, you got a mission. His last appearance to the disciples, he tells them, you got a mission. That mission has been handed down to you and I. We have a responsibility to be faithful to God and to tell others about Jesus. No church will ever grow without taking the Great Commission seriously. If we don't carry out the Great Commission, we will never be what God wants us to be. If God speaks to your heart and says to you, I want you to be faithful and I want you to tell others about me. If you do that, Salem Baptist Church will be completely different. If we don't, we'll just come and be the same old, same old. What are we going to do? Shall we bow our heads and hearts together? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Thank you for the time together. Thank you for the Word of God. May we share what you give us with others, that others may be encouraged, that others may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ might be honored and glorified in what we do and what we say. For I ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.